Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We are actually taking a shift or a break in the resolution dialogue. And as you can see, there are reasons why we actually go, you know, read word for word, and I editorialize regarding this content. There is nothing more powerful than actually hearing the precise words of each of these framers. I can't express how many times when I've read through these, how they've been able to just synchronize like gears, moving the logical conclusions, moving these thoughts forward. It's very, very powerful. And it's much more powerful than me just telling you what they said, or in my words, what they said. I do not want you to take my word for it. I don't want you to take anybody's word for it. As a matter of fact, I don't want anybody, regarding the election, I don't want anybody to take anybody's word for what's going on with the election. This is why we are driving you to get engaged. Now, as I've been telling you, and we kind of talked about this in some previous episodes, that we have a comment line, 425-270-5416. And you're more than welcome to call that comment line. If you've got a question, instead of talking live, it'll still seem like you're live. And if you've really got a question that begs the exploration of a two-person dialogue, I will call you back, because we do have the number that you call from, and it's not like we're putting that on the internet, so don't worry about that. But if I do call you, I will be prepared to actually record the conversation, but I will get your permission before we even dive into that. If you're willing to really dive into the discussion and the content that you bring up, then that's what we'll do. Because I do believe that your feedback, your comments are critical, just like speaking to state legislators. Because I'm not in a position where I'm mass educating everybody, but I do believe in the concept of training the trainers. And I do believe that you and others listening are absolutely those who can become critical in passing this message along and getting people either to drive, you know, start listening to the show, drive them towards the show, so that you got to tune in, man. I'm tired of giving you the information. You've got to tune in so you can start learning from yourself exactly what these men were saying. And with that, then I think you become a very strong influence. Now, as you know, the show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. And you are listening to the only show that provides you the academic-based evidence and solutions in fixing this problem. We prove that the federal government has no authority to do practically everything they're doing. And we prove all the time that there is only one way. And actually, when we go through the resolutions like we are right now, in the middle of those, you will see that the evidence is right there. This is exactly what Thomas Jefferson and James Madison tried to do in the 1798 resolutions. And because they failed, they knew that the only thing left that they could do is actually perform or execute a political coup. Sorry. Anyway, I just want you to know that the content that we're going through, and when we get back into the ratification debates, I hope and I really pray that everybody takes the opportunity to actually listen to every one of those shows, record them, download them, keep a note of what days you want to download. Because if you're a person like me that likes to listen to audiobooks when you're driving, That is a far better conversation than listening to these entertainers distract you on the grapefruit or the news cycle of the day. I'm not sure if you've seen many people on social media or in your personal life talk about how they've unplugged from the news cycle and how much happier they are and how much more informed they are instead of being force-fed what the conservative and the liberal, and in some ways it's the same narrative. They just want you to be consumed by that narrative. And so that's where we are. That's what we've got to do. And what I have is I actually have a comment. I had a caller, and because the caller didn't mention their name, we're just going to go refer to the caller as Bill Jones. And so we had Bill Jones actually dial up, and what we want to do is let you hear his question that as he's posed this, and I'm going to do everything I possibly can to respond to that. And then what I want to do is I want to get back into some of the content in the last dynamic show, the non-content show that we did. It wasn't really marketing, but I want to get back into commenting on the cumulative crystal out there that, you know, where people are really wanting to be a part of this. And so let me just start off with Mr. Jones here. And so
I have a question for the show.
Here we go.
My questions are, how do you deal with the rogue Supreme Court, whether it be federal or state, refusing to take up litigation and going rogue and and going by previous rulings regardless of their constitutionality? Thank you.
Okay, so how do we deal with court justices? Well, first off, they take an oath, and they are obligated to support the Constitution, not to support a political affiliation or political agenda. And this is where I like to say I told you so. When you start looking at justices, and when you start actually looking at how ideologically divided we are, I mean, we are polar divided. I mean, it's that extreme now. And it's becoming even more so. It is becoming far more evident who the evil people are, evil players, and who are fighting for good. And so with the rogue justices, in context to one of Bill Jones's points or comments, is how do you deal with that? Well, we know Section 3 of the 14th Amendment is an excellent mechanism of getting rid of these folks. The problem is we do not have states enforcing it as of yet, and we need to. And as a matter of fact, we need we need state legislators to be very clear that the enforcement of Section 3 of the 14th Amendment is not something that is guaranteed due process. You have to understand that when you've disqualified yourself, you don't get a chance to go to court and maintain your position. You are to be removed because that's the law of the land when someone has violated it. So here's what has to happen. If that person wants to contest their removal, then they can go to court to say, I've been dismissed without cause. And so that's fine. They can try to defend themselves, but they are not guaranteed due process. You're not throwing them in jail. And here's the thing. There is a good likelihood that you could prosecute them for absolute crimes, but removing them is a single and separate process, just like impeachment. When somebody goes through impeachment, they're really not, and as a matter of fact, if you look at what the process is, it's good that they allow you in the impeachment process to have an opportunity during the trial portion of impeachment. But there really is no trial portion. As a matter of fact, if there is evidence that you have done something that is outside the confines. You've supported something that is not enumerated. And this is where the state legislators need to nail down the enforcement of Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, that there is, you know, you don't go to go, or you don't, you know, you don't go to jail. You were just removed. And you're removed if you are taking a case that is outside, if you're a federal court and you take a case that is outside the enumerated powers of the Constitution, regardless of whether the federal government believes it's within their jurisdiction or not, the state legislators have the authority to draw that line and say, sorry, you will be removed if you are in our state in a federal court as a judge and or a enforcer or anything like that. And as a matter of fact, there is no constitutional enforcement for the federal government other than the militia, as we know. So the state legislators can easily nail this down. They can drive the enforcement of this. And so it's the same thing, though, that the state legislators need to actually drive the stake or put that flag on top of the mountain, like Iwo Jima, where, you know, everybody can see that this state is in mode of full compliance to the Constitution. You want to get rid of a legislator who violates the Constitution, then there you go. And one of the things that I have suggested several times, and I'm going to say it again, as the state creates this paradigm of enforcing the Constitution and actually starts enforcing Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, they should put in place prior to this a resource office that provides the academic research and the academic evidence of what is enumerated, what isn't. We'll be right back after these two promos. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADD-LOCAL or visit them on the web at www.addlocal.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
And so I want to answer the other part of Mr. Jones's kind of query and or question. And so really, when you look at the court system and their case law and so forth, until we have republic review, until a state actually audits the Constitution and a state actually stands up and says, these things you are doing here are not delegated powers. These are outside your jurisdiction. You have no jurisdiction, federal court, over this, and the list goes on. Because it was the court system that aggrandized the role. Because as soon as they actually start making rules on such, then it opens the door for the Congress and the president to start utilizing that usurpation of the court. Therefore, we have to really get Republic Review to shut down case law and precedents regarding the Constitution. Either it is in the contract or compact, or it is not. If it is not in the compact, they have no jurisdiction. That is the first and formal process, that must occur before they even start wasting dollars in trying to seat a jury or, you know, hearing the evidence first or anything, period. Not even a grand jury. I mean, grand juries are huge, and I would say a big contributor in pulling things into the court that may not have any jurisdiction, especially on the federal side, the federal grand jury system. Remember, there, the federal court system, the federal government's jurisdiction ends with the enumerated powers. That is all they can do. It doesn't matter if they created a treaty that was not a part of their enumerated powers. That is an unconstitutional treaty, a treaty they had no business and no authority or power to create, such as forcing or creating land within state boundaries that becomes federal land for the maintenance and control over Indian tribes. No, they can't do that. They can't give state land to the Indians before the state forms and says, oh, here's your state boundaries, and oh, by the way, we've created an autonomous zone. That is nowhere within the powers of the federal government. They don't have the power to take it. Where is that listed in the enumerated powers of possessing and controlling land? It's one thing if it's a territory, but once it becomes a state, that state is the full owner. What should have happened is the federal government, while that territory was being converted to a state, should have given the land and the title of the land to the Indians so that then they would become state residents and state citizens and pay taxes, property taxes, when that starts with... because they didn't have property tax way back when. They may have had some, you know, poll tax and something like that, but they don't, it's not nearly as elaborate as it is today. But it would have given these Indian tribes full ownership. And now they would have, you know, what happens when you let somebody rent something for free? Go down to the projects and see how well the projects are maintained. Now, conversely, when you give something to somebody and say, this is yours, this is you keep it up and it'll be of value. You run it into the ground, you destroy it, and good luck. It will bring you no value. And I believe that there would be plenty of people that would be a part of these, I'll just say, settlements and communities that are within the state now. And now we have these people taking care of their land, growing their own food, doing their own hunting, or what have you. Then the states don't have to deal with a federal government and these autonomous zones and so forth. This goes to the same as when Islam or supporters of Islam buy their own land and say, we are going to create an autonomous zone and enforce our own laws and create our own community. That is unconstitutional. States are sovereign. Everything that's underneath their land is sovereign. They cannot allow other laws that conflict with the U.S. Constitution and the state constitution to exist within their territory. Every single one of these little training grounds and Sharia, you know, autonomous zones has to be shut down. They're in direct conflict with our federal government and our federal constitution, as well as the state constitution. You know, I probably digressed a little bit there, but Bill, I hope you understand that Republic Review is actually, this is how we take care of the rogue courts and reel everybody in, because they're going to continue. I have said time and time again, everybody has their ideological bias and they are becoming immovable. The ability of getting people to think objectively, okay, it's not within the Constitution, we can't do this. Okay, no. They believe that they've been able to do this long enough. They believe that there's something in the Constitution, like a statute of limitations. Hey, as long as we can do something to fool you by violating the Constitution, then we can get, you know, then it becomes constitutional after the first year or after 10 years. Or no, there is zero statutes of limitations baked within the Constitution at all. If it's a violation of the Constitution, it is and will always be a violation of the Constitution. And that's what Madison pointed out in those vetoes, which is why we're going to go through the vetoes of the Department of Transportation before we get back into the ratification debate. So we've got time. We probably won't be in the ratification debates until probably late January or early February. Anyhow. Let me just kind of say one of the things I like saying. You know, we all, as U.S. citizens, have a birthright and a birthright responsibility. We are supposed to be the ones enforcing the Constitution because we're supposed to be a part of the militias. And so we have a responsibility in maintaining, you know, the Constitution. And I just want you to understand that we are in, I believe, what we can call the last war. It's an ideological or political war that is confronting every citizen of the world. Not just the United States, but every citizen of the world is facing the globalist progressive movement in moving everybody into communism. The problem is that when we engage them, we are engaging them on their terms, in their where they have the lay of the land and the control of the outcome when you go into their battlefields. And what is that? That battlefield is the court. They own the court systems. This is why it is more important that you understand that state legislators have the full authority to determine, to be the judge and jury, whether their violation of the Constitution has occurred. I want to be very clear here. And this goes into the Liberty Summits that I've been having, in letting them know that it doesn't matter what the court or some justice says. As a matter of fact, if they're trying to cite case law, precedents, or anything else, and not citing the founding documents and the ratification debates, which clearly spells out the Constitution, its intent, and so forth, then, and you believe them, then you have surrendered your sovereignty. That's all they're doing. They're like worm tongues in the Lord of the Rings. They're trying to put you under a spell, trying to, you know, amaze you with this maze of knowledge and cases and so forth to say, look, you know, we have this power. No. Show me in the Constitution where case law and precedence is even constitutional. It's not. You won't find it there. The only thing you will find within the Constitution are enumerated powers. And that's why John Marshall, that's why all of these different framers in even different states all agree that those are the only powers they can execute. Don't let them convince you otherwise. If they do, guess what? Then they win. And that's why they want you to come into their battlefield, come onto their turf. No, this is why we must get the states individually and collectively working together to interpose and to put forth the necessary measures enforcing the federal government into compliance. That's exactly what we just read, both in Madison and in Jefferson's resolutions. And what we're going to be reading coming up is what Madison said, that the courts, the only court, the only tribunal that has the authority over these matters is the states, the parties. There's no authority greater than the parties of the compact. Not the UN, no international court, not even the Supreme Court. Their jurisdictions are limited. The states' jurisdictions are unlimited as long as it is not prohibited to them and or delegated to the federal government. And that's exactly how Madison puts it. But anyway, I want to thank you for tuning in. I do, like I said, I do want to get into some of the things. And what we want to get into first is where we are with these petitions. I'm going to be running out of time. So when we come back from the break, we're going to be getting into the petitioning of the states and getting, you know, states and counties and so forth organized and how to do this if you haven't seen the petitions already on Reclaiming the Republic. We've got those petitions up there already, and we definitely want you to go to the petition page and start learning how this Electoral College is completely unconstitutional, must be thrown out. Anyway, we will be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so what we wanted to get into, like I said, is we wanted to get into the petitions, but a little bit more before we do, just a little bit more. One of the things that we, you know, feel it's necessary to mention, because I've had this conversation, and I believe that as I talk to the state chairs of the Constitution Party, I truly believe that the Constitution Party is in the position of introducing a new, literally a new color for America instead of red and blue. And so what I want you to do is I want you to start looking into the Constitution Party. And as you look into them, call the chairs, call whoever's the local chair for the county or state, and ask them how much is the Constitution on board with fully enforcing the Constitution. They're probably going to say, oh, 100%. Then you should say, well, then that means you guys are fully on board with supporting Republic Review, because Republic Review is the mechanism of enforcing the federal government into compliance. And if they don't know, then see, you become the articulate one in helping lead the Constitution Party down the path of, you know, becoming the advocate. What would happen if the Constitution Party became that platform for Republic Review? What would happen? Well, I can tell you one thing. GR would be able to probably, I see myself being able to come out of the closet. I don't care if you call me by name anymore. It wouldn't matter, because the idea has permeated far enough into an organization where it can live on its own. We've already got the National Liberty Alliance pushing it. We've also got, and there's a lot of dependence on me there. But I believe that as the National Liberty Alliance goes, you know, into full-scale attack mode regarding Republic Review, then I'm going to tell you that, you know, they're going to find themselves, you know, plugging in directly into the Constitution Party. They're going to be a part of that. And so what's really important is, you know, moving the legitimacy and the veracity of this argument into the logical spaces. One of the things I tell people, just think about this. There are Republican parties at state level that have moved so far away from the RNC's platform and the RNC's agenda that I believe that these are small states. They only have so many electoral college votes and so forth. But I believe they're going to get to a point where they're going to push the RNC into saying, look, you either support our agenda or we are going to come after you for using our brand. You don't have a right to actually badmouth us and talk about political agendas and saying that the only thing that, you know, the priority is enforcing the Constitution. I believe if that happens, I believe if the RNC wants to play that game of chicken with the people who have found themselves in the reality that the Constitution is the solution and unconstitutional government is the problem. Those people that finally get to that square, and for some people right now, many of you, it's maybe just a one square move, or you've already got your foot there. It's a half square move to just lift your foot out of these other things to understand that the Constitution, the Lord gave us everything we needed. We can do this. We have all the authority necessary. And so some people, it's maybe a two square move. You know, some people, you know, see some of it, but they go, well, some of this stuff's pretty good. And we can have, and that's where we need to have these honest dialogues. Like what's going on? What's going to happen with Social Security? Well, Social Security has to go away because it's unconstitutional. However, we have a moral obligation to the American people. We, the people who have been lied to, who have, you know, basically lived a life based on that thing called Social Security was going to be there to help give them the assistance that they need. What would happen and what should happen is that the program is immediately closed, sunsetted, what have you, and then it is actualized. And then the money then goes from, because there's two sides of Social Security for people that are receiving money. There are those that really need it, that absolutely will need that annuity every month. And then there are those that actually have other retirements, or they have enough resources that they really don't need it. Then those people should be paid out. If you're in a financial situation where you don't need the annuity, you've already have the resources to pay your mortgage, to pay for your, you know, your things and so forth, but you shouldn't be stiffed. Everybody should get their due compensation. And those people who lived a life and never educated themselves and never were capable or even were in a position. Some people may be, you know, handicapped or hurt on the job throughout their career, where they couldn't do as much, And this is where Social Security and that monthly annuity should be there. And as a matter of fact, we need to really look at, because to be honest, Medicare and Medicaid goes away. However, I truly believe, because that's something the states need to do. That's a state responsibility. But the annuities that you're receiving, the payment that you're receiving, is something different. And so we owe it to everybody who has been bamboozled and lied to because of FDR and the progressives. We need to call the culprits out. You know, and as a matter of fact, if it makes you feel better, because there are people, they actually had these laws in France. If you prove somebody committed heresy, within 6 years of them dying, I guess the body gets so mortified and so, you know, decayed that after 6 years, you know, digging them out, you know, it's just like useless because they're just, you know, crumble into pieces or what have you. But in France, if somebody committed heresy and this was discovered before the 6 year window had, you know, gone by, then they would dig you up and burn you. This is why Sir Isaac Newton deliberately asked his nephew to not print his book until after the 6 year term, because he knew it would be perceived as heresy, because he was speaking out against the church. Isaac Newton stated clearly that the church that is talked about in Revelations to be restored by angelic ministry had never come. I think it's 6:14 or something like that, and I see an angel having the everlasting gospel. Anyway, so Sir Isaac Newton basically says that hasn't happened. We do not have that church here yet. And in stating that, he basically poked the French and the Catholic and all of the Christian churches in the eye by saying that church hasn't been restored. An angel has not restored that church yet. And so he didn't want himself to be dug up and burned in effigy. But what I am saying is, if it makes you feel better and you want to dig up FDR, you want to dig up Teddy, you want to dig up some of these past culprits and burn them in effigy, and you want to be careful, or just, you know, bring up all the crumbs and pieces and put it on a platter and burn it, whatever. I think that we have to let, you know, calmer and cooler and more logical heads prevail. But sometimes, you know, it's like when a parent starts spanking a child, sometimes the parent, you know, lets out and goes beyond that line, and, you know, letting the emotions get the best of them, and, you know, they want to extract their pound of flesh based on their emotional feelings instead of, you know, what would be the due diligence in giving the child some form of punishment that, you know, that would be equal to the merit of the sin or what have you. And so this, I know it's difficult. I know it is very difficult to be a parent. I know it's very difficult to make these decisions. But if you look at everybody that's engaged in conservative causes, you will find that they are so consumed with their passionate issue of abortion and so forth that they can't see the forest through the trees. They can't recognize that Republic Review actually solves their problem, because it takes care of the underlying problem. The federal government has no jurisdiction or business being involved in it. What they did was unconstitutional, and it must be undone. You'd think that the abortionists and the billions of dollars that they've spent would be knocking on Republic Review's door saying, we need in, we understand that you're going to solve this problem. But they're not there. It's the same thing with the Second Amendment, folks. It's the same thing with every myopic issue out there, whether that be Common Core, vaccinations. And as a matter of fact, I will tell you that the people getting involved in the vaccinations and health freedom and so forth, there are those that are entrenched within the organization, excuse me, and they can't get out because they've already vested themselves. But those who are actually getting educated and learning, wow, this is terrible, when they look at Republic Review, they go, wow, this actually solves the problem. And I've had great success with people as they're starting to get involved and they haven't invested too much into it. Anyway, as you can tell by those sounds that we hear, that it's time for another break. So when we come back, I will get into, you know, Crystal and some of the other things I wanted to say. And so please stay tuned and let us cover the last of the stuff. And in our next episode, we are going to be going into the Christmas, American Christmas, and what it should be. We'll be right back after this.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay, so I need to tell you really quick, if you go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to the petitions page, we have all the cover letters there. We have almost everything you need. If the instructions are not clear, you've got our contact number, 425-270-5416. Just leave us a call. Or send me an email, info@ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. If you have any questions. Now, what we want you to do, because we want you to actually look at these petitions, we actually have a petition cover sheet for your state legislator. What we are begging you to do is to actually go to your state legislative office or your online page and pull up all of the legislators' emails that are there. They may not have the current session that is going to be formed, but most of them should have been sworn in by now. Usually the swearing in of office occurs at the beginning of December. Everybody has taken their oath of office now. They should have an email. Go and pull in all of the emails for your House of Representatives and your Senate. Then send them an email. Make it simple for them. Just basically attach the four documents, the petition, the history of petitioning, the follow-on petition for, you know, providing a solution for fixing election processes, for restoring integrity and so forth, and then the cover letter. Now, there are two cover letters that you need to download, because what you're going to need to ask your state legislator is that they send two packages. Now, for a U.S. citizen, the originals would go to the House of Representatives. Why? Because that's who your real representative is. The Senate is not your representative. The Senate is supposed to be representing the state legislators. So their originals should go to the state legislature. And then in the other cover letter for the cover to the House, it should state that these are copies that the originals have been provided to the Senate. And so that they understand that they are basically petitioning the entire body of Congress to fulfill their oath of office in supporting the Constitution by throwing out the Electoral College for this year, because the Electoral College this year is unconstitutional. Therefore, it must be thrown out. And I'll tell you, if you've seen any of my posts on Facebook, and there's on thousands of pages now, because we've been pumping them out. And if you see them and you see the headline basically states time-sensitive First Amendment petition to throw out the Electoral College. People go, oh, you're trying to get rid of the Electoral. No, I'm not. They just don't put it into context that this year's Electoral College is completely unconstitutional and must be thrown out. It is a violation. It is a perversion. It's blasphemy to the Constitution. I can't put it any better. It must be thrown out. It is invalid. Anyway, so if you haven't done it yet, please download these documents and email them to every single one of your state legislators. Call them out and ask if they would please provide the information that they have actually submitted that they're going to do this. Because what we want to do is we want to keep track. If you don't hear from them by January 1st, you should send them another email saying, have you done the due diligence in complying to your oath of office by demanding that Congress comply to their oath of office? Please respond, or it will be presumed that you did not support the Constitution. And just leave it at that. Then, after session starts, you can send them a follow-on email to say, since you have basically fell into the parameters of not fulfilling your oath of office, you can plan on having to defend this position and your decision in your upcoming bid for re-election. And then I would actually, in those emails on the first and later on, I would CC the county chair, the legislative district chair, whoever the chairs are in the party that these people represent, and basically say, hey, this person too has failed to fulfill their oath of office, and we're coming after them, and we're going to be calling them out. And then we just start our campaigns now to start identifying that these people are milquetoast. They do not support the Constitution. They support political agendas, and therefore they have disqualified themselves from office, and we should be calling for them to be removed. And let that go over the next 2 years, I'm telling you. Let them live with that type of harassment. And as you start articulating very clearly how they have failed, people are going to see it your way. There's no other way about it. And then we actually have room to get rid of these folks that are rhinos or non-supporters. Now, if you have any questions, again, on the telecom, please let me know. Now, in the last segment, I was kind of accumulating all the different people out there who want to get involved, who maybe, you know, kind of cash-strapped or what have you. I want everybody to understand that, you know, the Lord knows organizations. He knows individuals. You know, it's hard for me to fathom recognizing every single creation, especially when you look in the perspective of our Creator, who's created billions of lives. I mean, look how many lives have lived on the earth. We're talking billions. And if you do the math, if you calculate how many people have ever lived and currently living, we're somewhere around 50, 60 billion people. That's not even counting the heavens and the earth and all forms of life that the Creator has created. And He recognizes every single one to the nuance. In other words, He knows there's a difference between you and me. And He knows what He's created. And so, and he knows our strengths. And so my point is that if you read in Malachi, and this is one of the final books, this is the final book in the Old Testament, and this is what Malachi says. And I actually bring this up in my first book. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And he says, and the Lord's response is, in tithes and offerings. The Lord then says, ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you, or open you the windows of heaven, and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, I'm just, so this is what I want to say. Anybody who has need or has room for help, sustenance, you know, support, supplication, anything, knowledge, anything, you have need. And you want, you know, the Lord to respond. How can he respond if you are not at least doing those things? So what is a fast or an offering? Because really, that's what we're talking about here. A fast is something that you do in and you sanctify it. What I tell people is if you try this, go without eating a meal. Go without eating a meal for a day. Two meals or three. Go a day without eating a meal. Figure out exactly how much money that would mean. And then give that same amount of money in food to some food bank, some people that are in need. The Lord will recognize the compassion in your bowels. And what you're doing is just saying, hey, Lord, I have faith. I believe that you'll answer this promise, and he will bless you. I can tell you that when I started off and I was not one that actually was willingly and freely giving offerings, I could tell you that, you know, getting from one paycheck to the next was always tight. And, you know, there's always discussions between my wife and I on how we need to save money, stop spending money, and those types of things. But I will tell you that when we started and we committed to, you know, sanctifying our offerings and sanctifying our sacrifices by giving to others, whether that be your church, whether that be, you know, like I said, a community place where they're feeding people, the Lord recognizes the compassion in your bowels, and he will bless you. And I take that to the bank. That way, if you are involved in the patriotic cause, you're saying, Lord, I want to be able to do this more. I need more help. He will help you. Just remember that he answers everything in due time. Sometimes he wants to make sure that, you know, you've come forth with a contrite heart, a contrite spirit, and you are committed to this. I will tell you that the transition may be a very gradual thing, and sometimes we don't recognize his hand. But all of a sudden, 2-3 years go by, and then we start thinking about, as we started doing, you know, having a regular fast and fasting, trying to save his constitution, trying to save liberty so that people will constantly and freely have the choice to follow him, then I am telling you, you over those past 2 years will all of a sudden see his hand that wasn't so obvious. If you are looking for doing the right thing, you must be doing this as well, because then you can and will be blessed. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing.